Verse 20 from the passage just read. O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Andra moi ena pamuza palitwan kosmala pala. Those of you who've learned Homer, you remember that is the first line from Homer's great epic about Odysseus, where he calls him a palitropos aner, which means a man with many sides to his character. And so he was, Odysseus, I mean. If Homer had written an epic about the greatest hero in Israel, I suppose it would have been David, because he was a palitropos aner, a man who had many sides to his character. He was a shepherd, he was a king, he was a poet, he was a military strategist, he was just about everything that a person could wish, even though he sinned deeply and proved himself to be a poor father at times. Let that be a comfort to all of us. But anyway, when David was at the height of his power, after he had built his own house of cedar, it was his desire to build a temple for the Lord. He had just retrieved the Ark of the Covenant, had made a tent in Jerusalem, had put the Ark of the Covenant there. That was where God and man met. That's where David went to worship. He established a liturgy. He appointed people to conduct the services. We are told that he had saved 3,500 ton of gold and 35,000 ton of silver for the building of the temple. That's so fabulous that some scholars think that somebody has tampered with the figures. Well, I'm not here to settle that issue this morning, nor can I, but it surely indicates that what David had saved for the building of the temple was absolutely fabulous. This was his opus magnum, the greatest work of his life, so he thought. So one day, he told Nathan the prophet, you know, I think it's about time for us to build the temple of the Lord. Nathan said, do whatever you find in your heart to do it. But that night, the Lord appeared to Nathan and informed Nathan that David would not be the one to build this temple. David was not the one. Go and tell David that not he will build this house, but his son. And so Nathan promptly goes and tells David, the Lord told me that not you, but your son would build that house. And then he told them many other things which were not read here this morning. We don't have time to read all of that. But what it amounts to is that his son would establish a kingdom which would be forever, would be based on his eternal covenant. And, of course, it would reach into all eternity. And when David heard that, which was the first time he had ever heard it, he bowed in faith immediately. This man, who was so many-sided in his character and had so many gifts, was, in the final analysis, just a man of simple faith. Hebrews 11 doesn't remember him for all of these great deeds which he did, but simply for his faith. Now, David had no delusions about a millennial kingdom or about liberation theology or the two keys of the kingdom of the papacy, which all the basileia toutheou is all screwed up in the theology of these people because their flesh gets in the way. And it's something that you young men are going to have to deal with in the generation to come, because there is a constellation of heresies in our day, unheard of in previous generations, which are trying to destroy the term the kingdom of God. And sometimes I think we ought to have a course just with this theme, the kingdom of God, because there is so much tragic heresy about these days. Even the so-called ordination of women, you can trace it back to a heresy about a misunderstanding or a deliberate misunderstanding of what the kingdom of God is all about. And our fathers really had this thing straight ever since the time of Luther, when they spoke about the kingdom of grace and the kingdom of glory. and distinguished the kingdom of grace in this life from the kingdom of power and kept them absolutely separate according to the eternal word of God, his eternal covenant, and his eternal kingdom. So, after Nathan had talked to David, he acquiesces immediately. He doesn't argue. He doesn't call Nathan back and say, hey, maybe you didn't get this straight. Look at all this gold and silver I've saved, all these psalms I've written, all these people I've appointed for worship, all this bronze and this iron, and all of this lumber which we're going to get from Lebanon. You must have this wrong. No, none of that. None of that. And the reason plainly is because David saw beyond the gold and the silver and the wood and the iron. He saw beyond all of that. He saw Jesus Christ, the great servant of God, sitting on his throne, not as clearly as we do today, because this thing has unfolded since the time of Daniel, and especially in the synoptics, where the term kingdom of God, and then, of course, in the epistles, where this thing unfolds so beautifully. And the only thing that still has to happen is that he will come again. We see it so clearly with the eye of faith. But here, at this first instance, David simply acquiesces, and he says, O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And there you have it. Now, you have various gifts, some more, some less. But you're not out there to preach yourself, are you? You're out there to preach the kingdom. And you must see it clearly, as did David, as did Luther. So clear, so plain, so simple in the prayer, Thy kingdom come. When our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit so that by His grace we believe His holy word and live a godly life here in time and hereafter in eternity. By the way, there's I don't understand all this stuff that's going on about church growth, but I'll tell you, if you know the kingdom and keep that straight, the church will grow as God wants it, right? There's your church growth. It'll keep you the correct theology on this term, the kingdom of God, I am sure, will keep you and make you a man of conviction, of simple childlike faith like that of David, and a man of conviction who can say, as did Luther, the kingdom ours remaineth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's almost as if David had spoken those two petitions that day, because he saw the meaning of the kingdom of God clearly, and when God had told him that, he acquiesced and said, thy will be done. And may God make us that kind of preacher so that we preach the kingdom and we'll finally see it ourselves in everlasting life. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.